Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Generali 9 months 2019 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gian Maria Mossa, CEO and General Manager of Banca Generali. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to our third quarter results conference call. Let me start saying that the bank is really in good shape. Reported net profit achieved 196 million euro, of which 103 of core net profit. These numbers has been driven mainly by market expansion, great results from all the new revenue streams and asset expansion. At the end of September, total assets reached almost 66.1 billion euro. At once increased also for the acquisition of Valeur. We have just signed the closing in October. We reached 67.2, and this implies an asset expansion of almost 10 billion euro. I think that the best result is in terms of inflows, the quality, more than 74% comes from the existing sales force, and the quality of our financial advisors continue to increase with a portfolio average above 32 million euro. The numbers are pretty impressive. What impressed me more, and I'm very proud of that, is the quality. All the engine that we launched in the last 12-18 months to accelerate the revenues are working very well and are beyond our expectation. Laxim, in particular with the distribution to the retail, structural product, advisory fee, and retail brokerage fee. As usual, at page number 4, you see the detail of the P&L, starting from the operating profit up to up 34.1%, where the main contributors were the net interest margin and the net fees. Net fees climbed thanks to, of course, performance fee, as well as a higher contribution of other revenues and a lower cost for growth. Total operating costs up 8.6, of which an important part are driven by M&A and one-off, while all the, say, the lines below the operating results are a positive contribution for the year. Tax rate a little bit higher than the same period of the last year at 17.4 compared to 16.4 of the first 9 months. 17.4 compared to 19, so it's positive. Sorry. Page 5, you see the build-up of the net profit, which is the split between variable profits and recurring profits. Variable profits jumped thanks to an increase in the performance fee that more than offset the lower contribution of the trading gains, while, as you can see, the main contributors to the recurring profit comes from almost 10 million with increase in net interest income and 20 million coming from asset expansion, new revenue engines, and a lower cost for growth. From page 7, we go through this every single line, starting from net financial income, comparing the first 9 months of this year to the first 9 months of last year. You see that the net result is a little bit lower, but the mix is much more important. Net interest income up to 56.5 million euro, and trading income at 9.3. Focusing on the quarterly trends, the third quarter was very strong, with net interest income at 20.3 million euro, once included the impact of IFRS 16, and we are confident to be around this number also for the last part of the year, while the trading income confirms the projection at 3-4 million euro per quarter and totally above 10 million. Why this impressive acceleration of net interest income? Two main reasons. The first one, thanks to the maturity of part of the portfolio, we are invested at higher rate. And second, the asset expansion. Asset expansion, total balance sheet exceeded 11.8 billion euro, of which 7.9 of financial assets. And in terms of net interest margin, we accelerate from 0.77 to 0.85. So to say that for the fourth quarter, we are positive despite the reduction of the yield because we have several maturities and we reinvested part of the previous maturity at the higher yield. Moving on, page 8, we start with gross fees. Main component management fees, best quarter ever for the bank, 163.2. In terms of total contribution for the first 9 months, the total contribution is slightly lower compared to the last year, but also in this case, we are very confident to close the year definitely higher than the last year. In terms of margin, you can see a gradual recovery from 1.4 to 1.41. You see, like for like, because from this quarter we start including also Nextam results. Also, in case of management fees, most part of the increase comes from an acceleration of the asset expansion, in particular on our Luxembourg platform. Page 9, probably the best news of the day, comes from other fees. If you look at the first 9 months, they are almost at 60 million euro, compared to the 51.4 of the full year 2018, with a raising contribution of both banking fees and entry fees. Focusing on the last quarter, and due to some seasonal effect, comparing it with the third quarter of the last year, you see an impressive acceleration of both entry fees from 3.6 to 5.2, and banking fees from 11.6 to 14.7. In terms of margins, if you compare the first 9 months 2019 with the first 9 months 2018, you see an improvement. In particular, it is more impressive on a quarterly basis. At the beginning, third quarter 2018, we were at 10 basis points. Third quarter 2019, 13 basis points. And again, here numbers are very, very impressive, and focusing on October, we see a further acceleration. Last part of gross fees, focus on performance fees. Overall, 96.3 million euro, with a contribution for the third quarter at 25.5 million. And of course, in absolute terms, it's very impressive, it's an important contribution. In terms of percentage on total AUM, the margin are at 0.28, that is far below the average of the last 5 years. And so, again, also performance fee are linked to the asset expansion. Almost 60% of this performance fee comes from the new offer, the new Luxim offer. On the fee expense side, page 11, you can see that the total fee expense moved down, mainly thanks to a lower cost of growth, so 288 million compared to the previous 301. Looking at the breakdown, starting from the payout to the network, overall down, slightly higher ordinary payout, and definitely lower cost of growth. And again, this is linked mainly to the quality of the inflows, most of which coming from the existing sales force. Second part is the payout to third parties, and you know we had a target to go below 4% in terms of asset management. And you see we have reached 3.8, so again, almost 10% of reduction thanks to the continued renegotiation and the focus on fewer players with higher assets. So, next page, we can go through the operating costs. We changed slightly the representation on the left of the slide. You see overall cost reached 155.7. We highlighted two contributions, one coming from the one-off items, mainly, as we already said, BG Saxo and Valeur, and on the other side, Nextam, because we start including Nextam for 2 months, August and September. Focusing on the core operating cost, the overall increase is at 5.8%, and again, mostly linked to the acceleration in key strategic projects with hiring process focused on quality people, quality manager to accelerate our realization of the new projects. Overall, for this year, we confirm, I think that this is the most important message on the cost side, we confirm our guidance of core cost in the range 3-5%. Slide 13, focus on the efficiency, our operating leverage. All the ratios are at the lowest level. Operating cost out of total assets reached 0.31. Cost-income ratio, both reported and adjusted, down to 39 and 32.9% respectively. Last part of the first chapter, page 14, capital position, CET1 and total capital ratio well above the SREP requirement, respectively 16.5 and 17.8. Slightly lower to the same period of the last year, driven by the full application of IFRS 16 and the first time consolidation on Nextam. Of course, these numbers consider also the new dividend payout policy that we communicated during our investor day, that I confirm will be also for this year in the range of 70-80% of the net profit. So before moving on to the next session, just to sum up this first part, we see solid growth in almost all the revenue streams and a very efficient operating leverage. Everything is working very well, and we are confident to see further improvements for the fourth quarter. From page 16, we start with asset inflows and recruitment. So total assets, as we have just seen, up to 66.1 billion euro. Net inflows up 3.8 billion euro. The contribution of the performance of the client portfolios is pretty impressive, 3.7 billion euro, of which that implies a yield performance for the clients on the total assets of 6.4, and if we focus only on the asset management products, it is 7.5%. So more than offsetting the negative performance of the last year. Slide 17, you can see the breakdown of total assets. And again, here the most important thing is to see how we continue to diversify. All the main contributors of total assets increased in this in the first 9 months. Managed solution up 4.1 billion, traditional life policies up 1 billion, banking products up 3.5 billion. On the right of the page, you see that also breaking down the managed solutions, all the contributors increase. Insurance wrappers and financial wrappers exceeded 15.5 billion euro, while total funds exceeded 15.9 with a raising contribution of the in-house product. Banking assets well balanced, 9.1 deposits and 9.2 current account, and of course, in case of a stabilization of the yield, we could see some extra revenues from this kind of investment. Page 18, there is a focus on our Luxembourg platform. We achieved 16 billion euro, highest level ever. Two positive contributions. The first one, the institutional fund classes continue to increase. 4 billion in 4 years, 9.3 billion euro. And very positive, you can see the acceleration in the retail fund classes. As we said last year, the focus now is also on the retail distribution, and just 9 months we exceeded the highest level reached in 2015. So we closed the first 9 months with 6.7 billion euro. On the right of the slide, you see the assets under advisory. Again, impressive results, 4.4 billion euro. With positive contribution of all the different approaches, so securitization, family office, and pure financial. Page 19, let's move on to net inflows. For the first 9 months, 3.8 billion euro, slightly lower than the total inflows of the last year, 4.1. But again, in the last 3 months, including October, inflows are for each month higher than the same month of the last year. So August higher, September higher, and October higher, with a projection of net inflows for October above 300 million euro. In terms of asset expansion of asset under advisory, you see the numbers of contracts in the first 9 months 2019. More than 6,600 new contracts. That is, if you compare in relative terms with the last year, the increase is about 50%, with an average asset per contract almost in line with the last year, between 500 and 600,000 euro. In particular, in these first 9 months, the average was at 650. The last page, a focus on recruitment trends. September, 59 new colleagues. In October, we had other 10 new colleagues. It's really important, as you know, to be very cautious in this activity during the phase-in of MiFID review. We start seeing normalization, so as we already announced, next year we start again recruiting in line with our historical average. On the right, you see total net inflows by acquisition channel, and in particular, the impressive number of the contribution of the existing network at 74%. So, just to sum up, I think that numbers are very good, assets quality impressive, well balanced, where the concept is to be well diversified in terms of assets, in terms of investment solution, in terms of products, in terms of inflows. And we achieved, I think, the highest level of diversification. This is, I think, the thing that guarantees the sustainability of our results. Now, the last section is about the business update. First of all, we increased the target for this year in terms of total net inflows coming from the ordinary business, from 3.7, 4.3, that was the range, the target announced during the investor days, up to 4.5, 5 billion euro. An explanation of this acceleration of inflows, in particular of the existing sales force, in my opinion, comes from the introduction of a new organization in the network last year. Now it's up and running, so there is more focus for different targets of financial advisors, so this is really important. And the second is about brand awareness and brand recognition. In the last publication of Magastat, where you have the ranking of the private banking companies in Italy, we reached for the first time the podium at the third place. So this means positive noise, positive reputation, and in particular if you compare this positioning with this ranking with the ranking 2015, that we were 8th, and in 2013 we were 15th. So it's impressive how fast has been the acceleration of the assets of private clients, and we continue to see these positive trends. And one explanation, one important explanation, is we have a dedicated division, the wealth managers. Page 23, you see that this impressive growth comes from all the cluster of clients, from affluent, upper affluent, private, and ultra network individuals. Of course, the contribution in terms of assets is more relevant for private clients and ultra network individuals. In terms of new clients, is more distributed. And this is thanks to more and more focus on differentiating the product offerings for our clients. On one end, we have very, very high personalization, private insurance, related products. On the other one, very innovative saving products. So we continue to be focused on all our customer base, and we see mounting opportunities, in particular in the segment of affluent clients. In the last two pages, no, next last three pages, you see a focus on the our main initiatives. The first is about LuxIM. I would say mission accomplished. We were very focused on launching a new sustainable offering in Luxembourg, with the aim of the aim at providing a well diversified solution also for retail investors and direct investments. And if you look at page 24 on the right, you see the impressive acceleration in retail fund classes from 1 billion at the end of the first half of the last year up to 3 billion. So we tripled the assets in 15 months. And we are very, very focused and optimistic on the future. For example, in October, again, we exceeded 150 million euro of net inflows for in the LuxIM retail distribution. Page 25, other three main initiatives. The first is about certificate and structured product. We exceeded the targets set for 2021 in terms of notional new issues, 317 million euro compared with the target of 300, and we are very close to overachieved also the target in terms of new revenues. And this is thanks to the partnership with BNP Paribas, the extension of the offering, and a very, very high focus of top managers in the bank. The second project is about robot for advisory. Also in this case, we are well above linear projection to achieve the targets of 2021. In particular, in the first 9 months, we are close to 12 million euro. And again, just linearly projecting these numbers for the fourth quarter, you would see that we will exceed 16 million euro. Volumes continue to grow, so we are very confident to reach well in advance the target of 2021. Last but not least, we start seeing also positive effect of BG Saxo, even if we are just at the beginning of the story. You know, we launched the new platform between June and July. We start by piloting this platform, and we start extending the platform to new clients. We are very, very close to launch new initiatives, a simplified version of the trading platform, and the possibility for our financial advisors to insert on behalf of our clients of the orders, so the so-called B2B2C platform. And if you look at numbers, in the first 9 months, we almost achieved the total brokerage fee for the retail over the last year. So again, also in these, I can see starting positive results. If you sum up these three new revenue streams, first 9 months of the year, 32 million, and again, just the linear projection show you how far we are, and the quality, and we beat the expectation, the linear projection, to reach the target 50-60 million euros before 2021. So we can say that if we go to page 26, in considering the three main ambitions we announced during our Investor Day, empowering FAs, we are well on track. All the initiatives are up and running. There is a room to accelerate in all the initiatives, retail distribution of in-house products, structured products, advisory fee, and brokerage fee, with a solid core business in the wrapper solutions, as well as more in general in asset expansion. In the second ambition was about the client first choice, so in terms of digital footprint, and again, also here we are just at the beginning. You know, in the last 6 months, we launched the new mobile app. We start opening up the new Saks BG Saks platform. We are very focused on marketing, direct marketing, also on affluent clients. So I see also on this ambition positive upside. And last but not least, we have just signed the closing of Valeur, confirming our international expansion. The Valeur is going ahead of expectation in terms of assets, and we will focus on our priorities in Switzerland in the next conference call. We are not in a hurry. We want to be very focused on reputational risk and providing the best solution for the professional to gain momentum for Swiss clients as well as Italian clients willing to diversify the booking center. So, considering the acceleration of all initiatives, I can say that all the management team is very committed and confident to overachieve the target set for the end of 2001 in terms of inflows, total assets, and at the end of the day, net profit. Thank you, and now we'll hand over to Q&A.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is on the NII. You gave us a gut feeling about the full year result in terms of net interest margin. I guess we are speaking about something in the region of 73, 74 million. I was wondering if you can provide an indication for 2020, 2021. So which kind of growth rate, if any, should we attach on top of year end 19? Also linked to these, I think you mentioned during the speech that there are many reasons behind this very robust NII in Q3. You mentioned reinvestment, but looking at page 29, I think you even managed to reduce the duration of your bonds in the 9 months 2019. So you're remaining fairly short, 1.6 years duration, and you managed to have a 0.83 percentage points of yield on financial assets. So I was wondering where did you invest in the 9 months and in Q3, because I guess Italian govies probably are not there. Second question is on the performance in October, if you can give us a sense of performance fees, given that the month is ending today, and also flows, apart from the 150 million you mentioned for the Lux IM, overall, which kind of flows you achieved in October. The third question is on your strategy in illiquid. I mean, without entering too much into some of your competitors speaking a lot about illiquids, I was wondering if you are remaining on the current strategy with certificates, with some securitization, or you are planning to go more into this kind of products. Thank you.
Thank you, Gianluca. Starting from net interest income, I can say that we still expect a one-digit growth for the full year of next year. In terms of performance in October, very poor, so a few million. Total inflows for October above 300 million, with a total contribution of asset management product above the average of the year. In terms of the liquid, I confirm our very conservative approach. Now we start with securitization and with private debt initiatives for professional. Probably in the first half of next year, we will enter distribution of also for retail clients. But for us, retail clients means upper affluent and private, launching dedicated vehicles where the key drivers is diversification and the coupon. So nothing disruptive is a way to continue to go in the direction of increasing diversification for our clients and start introducing liquid assets also for upper affluent private clients, not necessarily professional. For the quality of the reinvestment in the banking book, I hand over to Tommaso.
Thank you, Gianmaria. Let me say that we are trying to we are managing the net interest margin because thanks to the risking that we applied last year to the banking portfolio, we were investing a very short duration and maturity bonds. So we had a lot of bonds which were expiring by the end of the current year and the next year, which have a yield which is near to zero. We are investing on a higher rate because of that. So we are still diversifying the portfolio, as we said in our investor day. So looking also at other European government bonds, and especially you see that in our banking books there are a part of the short banking investments which is invested in also other European, not Italian, short government bonds like Spanish and Portugal. So it is something which is in our strategy. Overall, as you have seen, the maturity and the duration of the banking book is still pretty short, so we are still very conservative. But the main driver for the growth of our net interest margin is basically linked to the expansion of the asset that you can see looking at our balance sheet. So a part of the net inflows which has been collecting the last year has been also collecting deposits, so we are we have higher volumes in the asset side.
And part of the story is a better management of cash and simil cash as well.
Yeah.
So the cost of cash is declining over time.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A few questions from my side as well. The first one is on the asset under custody, asset under advisory, sorry, that you have been able to continue to increase, and this remains a quite impressive move to me. We discussed the last call about a profitability in the region of 46 basis points. Is that something that you can confirm, and how we can expect this margin to evolve, meaning if there is one of the three classes that grows more than the other, can it change, or it's kind of let's say balance, and so we can expect this 46 to remain pretty stable in the future. The second one is on the factor you mentioned before, so the recruitment you think to increase next year. Can you give us some color about maybe what kind of professionals you are looking for from competition, from banks, from so any comment on that would be helpful. And in conjunction to it, you performed these two acquisitions, one in Italy and one in Switzerland, which are seem to work pretty well. Have you any, let's say, hope or expectations to have other opportunities in the coming months to find other acquisitions of this kind, and if you are still focused mostly on Italy and Switzerland, or you're looking to something else. And finally, this year is a good year for performance of assets, and so you are benefiting and net profit. And expectations are pointing to a number that if we consider the payout ratio you gave, 70-80%, it could easily exceed the floor of 1.25. So can we expect if the EPS will will be higher in this range to have a higher dividend than the floor you have set at 1.25 per share. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. So, in terms of profitability of asset under advisory, during our investor day, we announced a range of 40-45. Now we are a little bit above. We confirm in this moment 46, but we say that our projection are in the average of the range, 40-45. And we continue to see strong inflows. Also, October has been in line with the previous months. In terms of recruitment, let's say that it is a well-balanced activity among financial advisor networks, commercial banks and private banks. I'm pretty confident to accelerate in the last part of this year, staying around above 80, and for next year around 100. This is the range that we have in mind. There is great and increasing interest, in particular for the asset under advisory, for the advisory services. There is a greater attention on our holistic approach, also to maintain good revenues and say good payout, introducing new services, new ancillary services to the clients, because you know to perform next year will be probably more complicated than performing this year. So you have to increase the quality of ancillary services for your clients. So in this sense, we are considered the best in the market. You know, we are first in class for the platform for our financial advisors, where we can provide risk assessment for the whole wealth, and we have several partnerships to create value also on other sort of wealth, so and for entrepreneurs and real estate and so forth. So in terms of acquisition, we are pretty confident with organic growth. So we are scouting, of course, the market, and if we see opportunity, we are ready. But in this moment, we don't have any dossier on the table. And we are very focused on considering expansion in Switzerland, and we are focused on self-financing any other acquisition. And this leads me to the DPS. We are confident to provide a DPS higher than 1.25, so they say we exceed the floor, but we will maintain, let's say, as a guidance, the range 70-80. Thank you.
The next question is from Elena Perini with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is about the split of the 1.1 billion of assets belonging to Valeur. I was wondering if you can provide us with the split between non-managed and managed assets. And then second question is about the possibility of a new voluntary disclosure which appeared in the press in the past weeks about the draft budget law. I was wondering what are your thoughts about it, and if you think that there could be a huge amount of money still to be repatriated. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena. Starting from Valeur, you have to consider Valeur is a sort of external asset manager, so either in investment solution or in advisory services, all the assets are under a recurring fee. So it's 100% under recurring fees, either for the investment solution or for the advisory services. In terms of, let's call voluntary disclosure, we heard about it. And if you look at the previous edition, it wasn't really a success. And so also in this time, we do not expect higher inflows, even if I think that if it is the case, we are better positioned than others, because now compared to the past, we have both the solution in Switzerland and in Italy. So in case of success, we'll be probably the first to take an advantage. In this moment, the details are not known. So prudentially, we project, we do not project an extra contribution from this initiative.
Okay, thank you. Just a follow up on your first answer, because my line was disturbed. Have I understood correctly that the 100% of Valeur assets are non managed because are advisory assets?
No. Sorry.
Okay.
It means that part are managed with an investment solution and part are under advisory. So our 100% of total assets are paying recurring fees.
Okay.
Which should be around 50-50.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
The next question is from Anna Adamo with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. My first question is to gather your high-level thoughts on the current interest rate environment. If I look at the share of deposits in the financial portfolio of Italian families, this has basically reached almost 30%. What's your view on the possibility to introduce negative interest rates on client deposits above a certain threshold in order to offset the interest rate headwinds? And my second question is on ESG. Can you talk a little bit more about Banca Generali's approach to ESG and how this is incorporated in your investment process? And lastly, can you share with us your latest feedback from clients following the publications of the MiFID reports? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna. So starting from the possibility to implement negative yields on current account, in the moment is out of scope. We are thinking of several initiatives to offer alternatives, thanks to structured product and, let's say, some very well diversified solution in the liquidity space with a maturity of 3 years. I don't think that there is a real opportunity to apply negative yield if not applied by all the, let's say, all the banking system. In terms of ESG, you know, we are the first mover on this field. We launched a new commercial approach where, first of all, you can quantify the real impact in terms of sustainability of the funds. And second, we translate all the single investment solution in the 17th SDG goals. And we provide a digital platform to clients where they can personalize their personal preferences in terms of the 17 SDG goals, so that you optimize the total investments, both in terms of risk reward as well as the personal preference versus the SDG goals. So if you look at the inflows in ESG solutions since the launch of this new digital platform that was in March of this year, were very, very impressive. If you think of that, new inflows on ESG solution exceeded 600 million euro in 6 months, basically. So it's a great part of the inflows in asset management products for this year in the same period. So we are very confident to have also this sort of distinctive approach to offer alternative solution to clients. In terms of MiFID, if I look at complainings or litigation for cost reporting are negligible, two or three, it means that our financial advisors did a very good job in communicating and in anticipating the reporting to clients. I'm not sure that the oil industry is exactly in the same good shape, because as you know, great part of the statements were sent during the summer, and most of them sent through, let's say, the mobile app. So to see the full effect, in particular in the traditional banking system, we probably need to wait a few quarters. So next 3-6 months, we will see the full impact. Also because I think that the next time the statement should be sent before during March. So let's see. I'm very confident that if there is an impact for us, will be positive, because while we approach the topic well in advance and we trained all our financial advisors, I don't have the same impression for the market in general terms. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Filippo Prini with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions. The first one, does your guidance of a single-digit growth in NII for 2020 include also the small positive effect from tiering? And if so, could you confirm that should be something in the region of 2 million euros? The second, on the performance fee, you indicated low limited performance fee for October, but is it fair to assume for the next 2 months of the year higher contribution, because most of the new Lux in SICAV that you have launched have still pending listing, or it's a wrong point? Thank you.
Thank you, Filippo. You are right. The tiering contributes for 2-3 million next year and are included in our projection. In terms of performance fee, again, you are right. Almost 80% of our assets are close or at the high watermark level. So, of course, in case of further increase of the markets, will be very, very positively impacted, both in November, December, as well as the beginning of the next year.
Okay, many thanks.
Welcome.
Mr. Mossa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you all for the participation, and goodbye.